It's a Tuesday on the Fan Morning Show.
We'll get ready for a Mike Tomlin Tuesday on the Fan Morning Show and look ahead, start to turn the page to the Houston Texans' visit to Heinz Field this Sunday, plus Monday night reaction as well, and John Wehner with his weekly visit.
It all gets started at 5:40 a.m. with a pre-show.
How do you get ready for a Mike Tomlin press conference?
Chips, dip. Like, I was thinking the same thing.
Well, get ready for a Mike Tomlin press conference. What's that mean? Should we bring bratwurst?
We're going to be out there shotgun. We're going to be shotgunning beers and grilling brats for the Mike Tomlin presser.
You make sure your mic is turned on before the Zoom.
Ooh.
Wow.
Do you like
the song Turn the Page by Seeger?
I do.
You a fan?
I had a bratwurst for the first time last month. And I got to report back to you guys. I loved it.
Thank you. How did you only, you're 34 years and like, what, 8 months old, something like that?
Yep. First bratwurst.
How did you go?
Never went to Milwaukee, never went to Wisconsin.
What, you think they cornered the market? You never seen the Johnsonville brand anywhere?
Never thought to get it. I was content with Italian sausage and hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, it's a special treat, my friend. It's a totally different flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It is, did you have like, there's only one condiment needed for a bratwurst.
We did brown mustard, and it was delightful.
Oh, here we go. Let's go.
We're brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkyNorthHills.com. Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette Steelers reporter, joins us. Ray, were you the guy that dropped an F-bomb on the Tomlin Zoom call?
I was not, guys. We're slipping pretty much every week because we only have two credentials for home games. So it was... Okay. Brian Bacco at Heinz Field yesterday, and I was at home, so blame Burko if you like, but it was not me.
Ray, what? They won the game. That's great. I said I'm happy with the Steelers won. I'm not really happy with the way they played, especially defensively in the second half outside of the Edmonds sack that sealed the game. Can you tell me what's going on with their inside linebackers in pass defense?
Well, guys, I think we all knew that teams were going to game plan if Vince Williams remained on the field in those situations. Teams were going to target him. I think the Steelers were just, hoping he can get a little bit better. But I don't think it's surprising at all that Melvin Gordon beat him for that touchdown. I think the more concerning thing for this defense, because I think Keith Butler will eventually get more comfortable with, having Cam Sutton in there or Marcus Allen, or somebody who's a little bit better in coverage for Vince. I think he'll eventually get to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
The more concerning part for me is the way Noah Fant, who is a really good tight end, kind of took advantage of Devin Bush. I think in year two, my expectation was Devin would win most of those battles, and I'm sure he did yesterday, but the fact that so many of them were big plays hurt the Steelers, I think, and I think when I break down the inside linebacker play yesterday, can't be all that disappointed in Vince because I know that's one of his weaknesses for Devin, supposed to be one of his strengths. So I think that was probably the bigger issue for me.
Well, I know that it's supposed to be one of his strengths, Ray, because he's just a guy who can really run at that position. But he's listed at 5'11", 235. Noah Fant's listed at 6'4". I am going to imagine you're around Devin Bush, or when it's not COVID times you are, that 5'11 is a little generous. Like, at a point in time, I say he might be the greatest cover inside off-ball linebacker you could find in a guy who has that on his resume. He's still given up almost half a foot to somebody. Like, that seems like a problem that's not going to go away against some of these, like, truly elite receiving tight ends.
Well, that's true. But was he even close to Fant on a couple of those?
No, I get it. No, you're right. He wasn't. That's troubling, too, that it wasn't even contested stuff. But, like, I also think even if he's in better position, that's more what I'm asking it, Ray. Even if he's in better position, I wonder in some of these cases how much he can do.
Yeah, and, like, I was going to bring up, do you guys remember the Bengals game last year in Cincinnati? I forget who the tight end was or who he was in coverage with, but he was close, he contested it, and he stripped it and got a turnover. So I can live with that. Like, if you're 5'11 and you're going up against a 6'5 guy, I get it. You're going to get beaten once in a while when you're in good coverage. Like, that play against the Bengals last year was spectacular. So I was expecting more of those plays this year. He's always going to be at a disadvantage against tight ends. I mean, there aren't that many tight ends who are even 6'2 or 6'3 in this league anymore, especially the guys who can run and, you know, the Noah Fant types of the world. So that's always going to be an issue for him. But like I said, the fact that, you know, he wasn't even close on those, you know, that was the big disappointment for me yesterday in that Broncos game.
Ray, what do you think happens at running back now? Because if Connor is the number one back with a bullet and he, you know, didn't fumble like Snell, okay, so we know that he'll probably get the lion's share of the work against Houston. But now, how do you think the depth chart behind him looks given Snell's fumbling problems?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I was hopeful that Benny Snell can sort of grab a hold of that and maybe get it to a point where it could be a shared carry situation. But how can you kind of count on the guy now? I mean, it happens way, way too often. So it's either going to be Connor and no one else, or maybe he gets comfortable with Anthony McFarland. I mean, listen, guys, there's one position in the NFL where you could step in as a rookie and have a lot of success. It's running back. So I wouldn't count McFarland out of this yet. I also don't think they're going to give up on Benny Snell after two fumbles in the first two games. I think eventually he'll figure that out. But to your point, to answer your question, I think they got to lean on Connor. I think they have to hope that he gets a little bit better. I think they have to hope the offensive line gets a little bit better, because right now that running game is, you know, to put it nicely, it's a mess. I mean, other than that 59-yard run, guys,
Do you think they played both tight ends? Do you think they played both tight ends so much yesterday, Ray, because of that? I'm looking at the snap count, and I'm seeing two tight ends played more than 50% of the snaps. And, okay, Ebron can make plays, but McDonald does nothing in the passing game. And when you put him on the field, that means that either Claypool or Washington are on the sideline.
Yeah, right. And if you're using two tight ends and they're not doing a great job blocking, and I mean, I don't want to – I'm just assuming if Ebron is living up to his reputation, he's not going to help you a whole heck of a lot in the running game. And you might as well, you know, have Derek Watt get a few of those snaps too. They might just be in a situation right now, guys, where they're trying to figure out what their identity is. Through the first two games, I don't think they have one. I mean, you watch this defense play. You know what that defense is all about. I mean, they're picking up where they left off. I have no idea what I'm going to get from this offense from game to game now. I mean, they had one good half against the Giants, made a couple of big plays yesterday. They won the game, yeah, but this offense right now, they need to figure out who they are. And they have to do it quickly, too, because the Texans, even though they're 0-2, guarantee you they're a better football team than the Broncos and the Giants.
Ray, I hate to go back and, at the risk of having Pitt fans be even angrier at me, continue to pick at James Conner a little bit here. You know, we're all talking about Benny Snell because, yeah, he fumbled twice in two games, and one was extremely damaging and one probably would have been but for Juju's hustle. It's not like James Conner has a history of ball security. 2018, he fumbled four times in 13 games, and one of them absolutely cost the team a win. In the season opener, even though it was at the end of a very good game. Like, I don't know if I'd feel necessarily all that comfortable with James Conner in terms of ball security either.
You're right. And think of the San Francisco game.
Yep. My point is, right, if Mike Tomlin's going to bury Benny Snell, Ray, sorry, if Mike Tomlin's going to bury Benny Snell, he wouldn't be following precedent with the way he handled James Conner last year.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, you're right. I mean, I'm with you there. I just think, you know, Snell's problems go back to last year too. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't. That's why I brought up McFarland's name.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they haven't gone to him yet. I know he has a special skill set. If you're looking to jumpstart the running game, maybe you might want to look to the fastest guy, the guy who had the big playability in college. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to happen this week against the Texans, but maybe watch for that in a couple more weeks. You know, when they get more comfortable with him, maybe he can be a solution to maybe jumpstart that running game a little bit.
Ray Fittipaldo, Post-Gazette, gave Ben Roethlisberger a B- for his game yesterday. For the rest of his grades, including what he thought of the Steelers coaching staff in that win, go to the Post-Gazette's website. Hey, Ray, thanks so much. Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.